and welcome to Cloud9 Fin, a podcast on all things leveraged finance. We follow corporate debt from issuance to redemption, credits from performing to distressed, and everything in between. I am Rachel Butt.
And I'm William Hoffman.
This week, we're going to talk about how weight loss drugs and Oprah Winfrey are creating new challenges for brands like WW International, which operates Weight Watchers, and Herbalife.
Yeah, I tried to get a hold of Oprah and her people, but somehow I didn't get a response.
That's really a shame, but we still have you, Hoff, and that's enough for me.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Rachel.
Anyway, let's talk about Weight Watchers. The popularity of GLP-1 drugs, including Ozempic, Wegovy, and Zepbound, have seemingly worsened subscriber losses for the company. And Oprah Winfrey's decision to exit the Weight Watchers board and donate all of her stock to the National Museum of African American History and Culture have not helped.
Yeah, neither has her special on ABC the other day, talking about how, you know, these weight loss drugs have been so successful for her after, you know, decades of being sort of the spokesperson for WW and Weight Watchers.
Yeah, Oprah has been incredibly public about her journey, and I agree with her. People shouldn't feel ashamed for struggling with their weight, and people should choose whatever works best for them. Bringing back to this, last week we reported that a group of Weight Watchers lenders hired Gibson Dunn, which is a law firm, to prepare for talks with the struggling diet company. At the time of our reporting, the company shares were trading at about $2.61 with a roughly $207 million market cap. And after we reported the news, the company stock tanked about 13% by market close.
Yeah, it was a great report and market had a big reaction to it. You know, even before all of that, company management said on fourth quarter earnings that, you know, they're looking for options to improve the company's leverage ratio and are considering capital structure options. So what's their situation looking right now since you had that report?
Well, the bonds are quoted in the 40s, so Weight Watchers could buy back some of the bonds and capture that discount. The management did mention on the call that they are going to strategically consider options, so that could definitely be one route. Existing lenders could also provide some new money because Weight Watchers has a pretty high leverage right now, and that restricts their assets to their revolvers. So that could be another option. And then, you know, Weight Watchers has licensed its name for several products, you know, frozen food and kitchen tools. So maybe they could monetize those agreements and get more breathing room. The really good news is Weight Watchers doesn't really have any debt coming due soon, not until 2028 anyway. So they have time to turn themselves around and try to bring those subscriber counts back up and try to stay relevant.
Yeah, that 2028 maturity will give them some time. Maybe in between they can find another influencer.
That's not a terrible idea. Who would be a good one?
You got me beat. I don't know. That's not really my my line of expertise there.
All right. Well, we will let Weight Watchers do the heavy lifting. Another situation we're closely following at the moment is Herbalife. Hoff, can you tell us more about that situation?
Yeah, they have a tricky refi coming up. Earnings weren't great. The whole premise of the company is really selling weight loss shakes. So, you know, a drug that helps people lose that weight without the shakes is not helpful for them at all. You know, not to mention their business structure is really a multi-level marketing scheme, you know, these MLMs, and taking some action against them recently from regulators.
Right. The company settled a lawsuit back in 2016 that was brought by the FTC by agreeing to pay $200 million to compensate consumers and to restructure their business. And last month, around the time of the JP Morgan Leveraged Finance Conference, sources have told 9Fin that Herbalife teamed up with bankers at Citi to hold meetings with debt investors as they face some upcoming debt maturities. Now, there's no timeline or structure around that potential transaction at the moment, and some investors are said to be waiting for the company's first quarter earnings to be released so that they can have more clarity on the company's performance.
Yeah, what's interesting here, you know, when we're talking about Weight Watchers and Herbalife is that they're trying to sell investors on this idea that they're going to benefit somehow from this widespread use of GLP-1s like Wegovy and Ozempic. So, you know, Weight Watchers introduced a program late last year that develops kind of a nutrition exercise program for some of their users who are on Ozempic or Wegovy. And, you know, because drugs like Ozempic lead to muscle loss, Herbalife is selling these GLP-1 nutrition companion protein powders to kind of stimulate some more muscle mass. But so far, these programs don't seem to be enough to kind of stave off the struggles at the companies. You know, in fact, if anything, it seems like it might be working against them. You know, consumer behavior kind of shows that there's just less demand for diet programs and nutritional supplements when, you know, a drug is able to kind of cure some of those problems.
You know, maybe the lesson here is that we really don't know how these drugs will impact the economy and consumer behavior yet.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we wrote about it at the tail end of last year when Ozempic was really taking off and people were trading off of these things. But it's kind of a good reminder that, you know, these are just theories. You know, GLP-1s will be good for the industry, or, you know, they could be good for some industries, could be bad for some other products. But we really just don't know what these drugs are. We don't really know until these drugs are available at a more full scale. You know, right now you have to, you know, use an injection to take them. You know, we would need to see something in more of a pill form. It would need to be covered by insurance so that it's not just for, you know, the ultra wealthy. And it just needs to be more widely available before we really understand what the effects will be on the broader economy and some of these companies. You know, it kind of makes me think of this Jefferies report where they said, you know, if average passenger weights fell by about 10 pounds, it could save United Airlines some $80 million on fuel costs.
Wow, that's sizable. But maybe it could also mean fewer in-flight purchases.
Yeah, it could mean less in-flight purchases for companies like, you know, Frontier that kind of rely on that sort of thing. But, you know, it could also just mean like different travel habits. You know, if people are less interested in going out to restaurants, or, you know, maybe they're not flying to Vegas for, you know, big gambling excursions, since, you know, these drugs seem to tamper with people's willingness to gamble or to take drugs and smoke cigarettes. You know, all these things are kind of affecting different companies in our areas. So, you know, even talking with the healthcare analysts, I mean, that's probably where the effects are most felt. It seems like these early overreactions to GLP-1s are kind of cooling off. In the fall of last year, Ozempic hype seemed to hit a fever pitch, and several healthcare names kind of sold off on the trend. Most of the companies have since reported, you know, stronger 4Q numbers, and the bonds have since rebounded from all those, you know, lows during the fall. You know, but that really has little to do with the changing opinions on the long-term effects of GLP-1s on these healthcare names. You know, the potential for national declines in obesity rates, you know, should lower the number of hip and knee replacement surgeries, which have been like big profit drivers for these hospitals. And, you know, studies continue to show that GLP-1s are effective at controlling diabetes. That's likely to be a problem for some of these companies like US Renal Care or DaVita Health that focus on dialysis treatments for diabetes patients. So, you know, we're watching closely this Baxter sale of its kidney care business, Vantiv. Baxter was going to sell it off to be an independent company, but now seems to be considering more of a private equity sale and a deal that's likely to be impacted by, you know, this Ozempic revolution.
Yeah, and just to give some context here, in the U.S., nearly 1 in 3 adults are overweight, and more than 2 in 5 are considered obese. I will never forget the first time I came to the States and saw the size of those soda offerings in the theaters. I was shocked by what was considered, you know, large. And back to the statistics, though, obesity-related medical care costs in 2019 dollars were estimated at $173 billion. That's according to a Barclays research report.
Yeah, it's a very hefty sum.
Let's take a step away from the weight loss market at the moment and take a broader look at something else that the Weight Watchers situation highlights. This early organization of creditors by a law firm is a strategy we're seeing more and more lately. Gibson Dunn, I have to say, has really cornered the secured debt market in this respect.
Yeah, we've reported recently that payment company Verifone, its lenders are getting advice from Gibson ahead of 2025 debt maturities. Gibson also advised certain lenders to cloud company Rackspace in a new money and exchange offer. I think the question here is really, you know, what does this early organization of creditors mean for the market? and for companies that are facing potential near-term distress?
Well, as you know, Hoff, in distressed debt investing, size matters. If you have a large enough position in a company's debt structure and you want to drive conversations with the major stakeholders, you often wound up in a better position than those on the outside. And we have definitely seen that playing out in rec space, where lenders that formed a group and signed a cooperation agreement received much better treatment than those who did not do so in the exchange offer. So there seems to be a trend of, you know, you snooze, you lose in these kind of distressed credits. And that's partly why some investors are becoming much more proactive these days.
Yeah, really, as these creditors and management teams approach the maturity wall, the thing we're learning from the Weight Watcher situation is they need to be asking, you know, what would Oprah do?
Exactly. As she would say, doing the best at this moment puts you in the best place for the next moment.
Okay, I'm not really sure what that means, but I think it's a great place for us to end this week. Thanks for tuning in, and please let us know if you have any feedback. You can reach us anytime by emailing team@ninefin.com.
Check in next week to hear the latest on European markets with our colleagues in London, and we'll be back the week after that. See you then.